Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I hope you all had a lovely three-day weekend, if you got a three-day weekend. Of course, not everyone does. If you did, I hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't, well, I'm sorry you had to work, and I hope you get some time off soon. I also hope the weather was nice. I mean, I know we've got some major crazy flooding going on. There's flooding in my own hometown. There's flooding on the East Coast. So I also hope that if you are in any of those areas, I hope you are safe and, well, you know, staying safe and doing what you can to keep it that way. My Memorial Day weekend, pretty quiet. Mostly just stayed home and hung out with the husband and kind of caught up on a few things. It's yesterday was really hot. It was in the mid-90s already, and every year I say this. I've lived in Northern California for almost 8 years. This time I moved here again. I lived in Berkeley for a while, which is a completely different weather system, but I've lived here in Northern California for almost 8 years, and every year it still takes me by surprise how hot it gets, how quickly. I mean, I'm just never ready for it, and I don't know why. You'd think that I would know. It's the end of May. We're lucky that it hasn't been this hot already. So anyway, we get rain in the winter. We don't really get a full winter, and then it just heats up way too soon. It's actually supposed to be in the 70s again for part of the rest of the week, so I shouldn't complain, but I was not ready for mid-90s yesterday. Anyhoodle, we're here to talk about books, not the weather. And if you listened to last Thursday's episode, then and you made it all the way through to the end of me blathering, then you heard me say that today I wanted to talk about one of my favorite authors from childhood, Joan Aiken, especially her Wolves series. The Wolves of Willoughby Chase is the first one. And I had so much fun revisiting some of this stuff when I was looking up some information about Joan Aiken. First off, there is a Joan Aiken website. Let me just double check that. It's just joanaiken.com, JOANAIKEN. And there's so much cool information. I didn't know half of the stuff about her that I found on this this website. And it's really well put together, and it's got lots of pictures from her childhood and just really fascinating. So if you are a fan of Joan Aiken and you haven't checked out this website, you definitely should. If you are not a fan of Joan Aiken, but you listen to this podcast and think she sounds pretty interesting, well, then you should check out this website. Anyway, what I wanted to talk about, it turns out she wrote over 100 books, and you can find the descriptions of those on the website as well. The ones that I want to talk to you about today are from The Wolves Chronicles, the first of which is The Wolves of Willoughby Chase, which she wrote in 1962. And I read it when I was in elementary school, and I just fell in love. It's historical fiction for children, so as you know, I love historical fiction. I loved historical fiction as a child. And this time it's historical fiction set in England. So let me give you, this is from the website. Her website is fabulous. It might be my new favorite thing. A description of The Wolves Chronicles. So it's Joan Aiken's famous series of 12 books set in her own historical world. A time when ravening wolves have invaded England from the wilds of Europe through the newly opened Channel Tunnel, and travelers ride in steam trains and hot air balloons over the snowy landscapes to escape wolves and other desperate enemies. On the throne, a dynasty of good Stuart kings are in constant danger from dastardly Hanoverian and Burgundian plotters threatening to blow the country to kingdom come. From a Dickensian London full of hackney cabs and duchesses, the travels of Dido, the spirited Cockney heroine of many of the books, take her all around the world on a series of adventures at sea and in fantastic foreign lands. Later books introduce her sister, Iz, and cousin, Aaron, who join her and her friend, Simon, in their fight to save the kingdom. Aiken's imagined world gave her the freedom to include whatever she wanted. Tidal waves and volcanoes, flying monsters and man-eating birds, from Saxon battles and Arthurian legends to Indonesian magicians or silent religious sects. Even steampunk started here. I did not know that. Although there is a story connecting all the books, they can be enjoyed separately. This is a world that once entered you will never forget. I love that description. I'm so excited about this website. I can't even tell you. I'm just going to play around with it more than I already have before starting this episode. And I have to agree with that last sentence. This is a world that once entered, you will never forget. Because I don't think the whole series as a child, but I read at least the first, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6. I don't even remember. But I reread the entire series about 10 years ago. And it was so much fun. I remembered parts of them, especially from The Wolves of Willoughby Chase. I mean, there's all of those great elements of children's stories. You know, there's the danger of the wolves. It's winter. There's, you know, I was glad that the description mentioned Dickensian London, because that was the first thing that came to mind. And I'm glad to know that I wasn't completely crazy remembering that, you know, kind of that children in dire circumstances who have to figure things out and go on adventures and try to solve what's going on. And you know, they've got all the obstacles in their way, etc. And I gave you the description of the series, but let me also give you the description of The Wolves of Willoughby Chase, just so you have an idea. Oh, and also, I didn't realize that some of the pictures in the books are... some of the books are illustrated by Edward Gorey. If you're a fan of Edward Gorey, then that maybe is another reason to check out the Wolves series. So The Wolves of Willoughby Chase is the classic first book in the Wolves series, hailed by Time magazine as a genuine small masterpiece. It is perhaps 1830, but a period of English history that never happened. Yet, so I said this was historical fiction, and that was a misnomer. I mean, it's historic in a sense. I mean, you feel it. Obviously, it's a different time period, but it's not historically accurate. Let's put it that way. Okay, so it is perhaps 1830, but a period of English history that never happened. Good King James III is on the throne, and the country is ravaged by wolves, which have migrated to the newly opened Channel Tunnel. Sylvia and Bonnie fall into the hands of evil Miss Slycarp when Bonnie's parents leave Willoughby Chase for a sea voyage. With the help of Simon, the goose boy, and his flock, they escape. But how will they ever get Willoughby Chase free from the clutches of the evil Miss Slycarp? For the governess is even more cruel and merciless than the wolves that surround the great house. I'm sorry. It just sounds... I mean, this was my... As author Jasmine Silvera kept saying in her interview a couple weeks ago, this is my catnip. And this was my catnip as a kid. I loved stories like this. You know, I loved the period. It was set in a different time period. So I loved the descriptions of the clothes and the houses and the adventures that the children had to have. You know, it's one of those typical kind of children's adventures where the parents, for some reason, aren't around. The children have to fend for themselves. There is an adult who is in power over them, and they have to figure out ways to thwart that adult and their evil plans. So definitely my catnip. I loved these books as a child, and I loved them still when I read them as an adult. They're so much fun, and again, there's 12 books in the series, so if you are a person who loves to read more than one book if you're a type of person who reads a book and loves it and wishes there were more, then this is great because there are 12 books in this series, as I said. I think we're going to take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, more on The Wolves of Willoughby Chase, The Wolves series, Joan Aiken in general. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am talking about author Joan Aiken today and my love of her Wolves series. As I was looking on her website, which I also love, as I was looking on her website and there's a section on the books, I noticed a section called Young Adults. So I clicked on that and realized that I had actually read another of her books called Midnight is a Place. I'd actually forgotten that this was a Joan Aiken book and that I had read it. You know, one of those things that kind of gets lost in your memory. Although then when I read the description, it sounded familiar. I'm going to now reread it. I want to reread it and refresh it myself even more with the story. So this is, it sounds a lot like The Wolves of Willoughby Chase. It's set in Joan Aiken's terrifying Dickensian underworld. This is the gripping adventure of two orphans fending for themselves at a time when children were forced to work in factories and sewers. Lucas Bell is lonely and miserable at gloomy midnight court with his intolerable guardian, Sir Randolph Grimsby. When a mysterious carriage arrives one night, Lucas hopes he's found a friend at last. But the newcomer, angry little Anna Marie, is fierce and spoiled. And French. Just when Lucas thinks things can't get any worse, the two are forced out, parentless and penniless, into the dark and unfriendly streets of Blastburn. One of Joan Aiken's greatest and most haunting novels. And then this says that there's now a new anniversary edition, which is the 40th anniversary, though I'm not 1,000% sure when this was written, so I don't know when the 40th anniversary edition would have come out. So again, there you go. It's my catnip. Orphans, adventure, adults that need to be thwarted. England. I mean, even as a kid, I loved this kind of book. And I think my dad must have known that because he's the one that turned me on to Joan Aiken. Or maybe I loved this kind of book because my dad was my school librarian and he was the one that pointed me in the direction of certain books. And so maybe my taste in books really was influenced by my father. And that's why I love the books that I love. At any rate, also on her books page, I saw a category that I didn't know about. And it is called Jane Austen Sequels. Huh. I love Joan Aiken. I love Jane Austen. It's like kismet. You know, I'm not even 100% sure what kismet actually means. But it's clearly I was meant to love Joan Aiken because she wrote Jane Austen sequels. Jane Austen was possibly Joan Aiken's, this is according to the website, favorite author for the extraordinary skill and wit with which she condensed so much experience into such an apparently small compass. Joan Aiken was very well informed about Austen's work and her world and was often invited to talk to Jane Austen societies in England and America, which she did with enormous pleasure. She has written many pieces about Jane Austen, including the wonderfully titled Boring Evenings with the Austens. Her Austen's sequels, while evidently written with tongue firmly in cheek, are nevertheless a great tribute to her literary heroine. So she's got Mansfield Revisited, Jane Fairfax, Eliza's Daughter, Emma Watson, not Hermione, The Youngest Miss Ward, and Lady Catherine's Necklace. Oh, Lady Catherine's Necklace. That just sounds, I don't know. Lady Catherine is such a wonderful character to hate. Obviously, we are not here to talk about Jane Austen. I should do a Jane Austen podcast now that I think about it. But Lady Catherine is one of my favorite characters to just roll my eyes at and really dislike. So Joan Aiken wrote Jane Austen sequels. And she was a fan of Jane Austen, and she was just love it, love it, love it, love it. So, as I said, she wrote over 100 books. There are the Wolves series. There's young adult books. She did the Jane Austen sequels. She wrote nonfiction. She wrote fantasy, plays and poems. She wrote period novels, which makes sense considering that she made up a whole period world. They're supernatural. There are picture books, which I'm now going to click on because I didn't click on that last time. I was just wanting to double check and see if she wrote her, or if she illustrated her own or not. Joan Aiken worked with many illustrators and often made use of traditional folk stories and fairy tales as in the Kingdom Under the Sea, which with the much loved A Necklace of Raindrops was one of a series of picture books illustrated by Jan Pienkowski. So she did not do the pictures, but she wrote a series of picture books. So if you have younger children, maybe, and they like kind of that interesting, I don't know, I haven't read them, so I shouldn't recommend them for small children because I don't know if they're necessarily scary. Some kids like that kind of eek factor in their books, but not all kids do. So I'm so excited about this. So picture books, then there was, of course, The Wolves Chronicles. She wrote modern novels, and she wrote magic and mystery, and a series about that are called Felix books. Go Saddle the Sea, Bridle the Wind, The Teeth of a Gale. I think I read those too. I really should have started my book list at a younger age because I can't always remember which books I've actually read and which books I haven't. For instance, there's another category called Arabelle's Ravens, and this is Arabelle and Mortimer, and it looks so very much like Roald Dahl with the illustrations. It was first read aloud on BBC Children's TV. Joan Aiken's Arabelle and Mortimer stories have become some of her most popular and best-loved work. They are illustrated by Quentin Blake, who perfectly captures Joan Aiken's crazy characters. And the stories tell of the absolutely wild adventures of a small girl and her pet raven. Mr. Jones, a London taxi driver, finds a mysterious bird in the road late one night and takes him home to his terraced house in North London to haunt the Jones family at No. 6 Rainwater Crescent in the suburb of Rumbury Town. His small daughter, Arabelle, becomes passionately attached to the bird despite his wild and wrecking ways and understands his every wish, even though he will only ever say one word, nevermore. His name is Mortimer, she says, and from that moment onwards, he is the other half of her life. Lovely. I'm still not sure. I recognize all of the illustrations, but I am still not sure if I have read them, which, again, needed to start that book list much earlier in life. Some of you out there are probably way bigger Joan Aiken fans than I am and are rolling your eyes currently because of my lack of Joan Aiken reading and my current enthusiasm that there's so much that I missed and can go back to. But hey, that's one thing I love about revisiting books that I loved as a child, because often I discover new things. I discover other books, like I'm doing now, and I add them to my list. I can then recommend them to my nieces, depending on what age grouping they might be, or recommend them to other children of appropriate ages, which I love to do. I always like to find new things to recommend and to read through. So I'm very, very excited to find more Joan Aiken books that I hadn't read. I read all the ones that my school library had and probably the ones that my public library had, but I grew up in a rather small town, 1,000 people, which I'm pretty sure I've mentioned before, but so I didn't, you know, our libraries obviously weren't huge, and I found a lot of great books in those two libraries though, so I'm not complaining whatsoever. Anyway, if you go to joanaiken.com and click on books, then you will find all of her books listed in different categories and the categories that I gave you. And there's actually, according to her website, a new collection, The Gift of Giving, which is favorite stories. And so even now, Joan Aiken, The Gift That Keeps on Giving, because now there's the gift of the gift giving. So it's favorite stories, There are stories selected from All You've Ever Wanted, More Than You Bargained For, A Small Pinch of Weather, The Faithless Lollybird, Up the Chimney Down. So if you are a huge Joan Aiken fan, it might not be stories that you haven't read, but it is a new collection, which is always fun. And again, I'm looking at the page right now, and it's got some really fabulous looking illustrations, so that doesn't hurt either. We are going to take our second break of the podcast. When we come back, I'll be talking a little bit more about Joan Aiken's life, and then we'll wrap things up. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am talking today about the books by Joan Aiken. And if you tuned in a couple of episodes ago, I titled that episode Love Letter to Little House because it was my, you know, my love letter to Laura Ingalls Wilder and her series, her Little House series. And now I'm feeling like, well, maybe I should entitle every episode love letter to something because of my great love of books. But I think I maybe should have entitled this one Love Letter to Joan Aiken because I am now fascinated by her website. So if you go to her website and you click on About Joan, you will see that there's the it's the estate of Joan Aiken that runs the website, and there are pictures and stories of her life. So she was born in 1924, and she lived until 2004, so she had a good long life. She, her parents, I learned something new. Her father was, her mother, Jessie MacDonald, was a Canadian and a master's graduate from Radcliffe, the Women's College at Harvard. And while there, she met another student, Conrad Aiken, who, I did not know this, was to become a writer and Pulitzer Prize winning poet in the U.S. So obviously Joan came from a very impressive set of parents, and she had, a brother, John, and a sister, Joan. Oh, wow. John, Joan, and Jane. I'm sorry, she had a sister, Jane. So John, Joan, and Jane. That's pretty impressive. So it just gives you this whole timeline with pictures, and so gives you pictures. Oh my goodness, her parents then were divorced. That's unusual. In 1929, her mother then remarried another writer, Martin Armstrong, and so Joan, who is now age 5, goes to live with them in Armstrong's cottage and is taught at home. John and Jane are away at school. Interesting. I'm fascinated by her parents, really. So her parents were divorced in 1929. That's very uncommon. At any rate, so this gives you a timeline with pictures from her life, which is really fun. I'm also one of those people that is fascinated by old pictures, even old pictures that aren't of my family, I will look at it. It talks about her time during the 40s when she became quite ill, left school, failed her university entrance exam, and goes to work for the BBC, which had been evacuated outside London to avoid the Blitz. And yes, so that in 1941, she leaves the BBC and goes to learn typing at Secretarial College. During this time, she has continued with her story writing. Her stepfather, Martin, has some stories read on the BBC Children's Hour. Jones sends some stories in too, and one is accepted. So these are just a few little tidbits that I am, you know, pulling out as I scroll through the timeline that gives the pictures. So, I mean, this is fascinating, obviously, because it is during World War II. She gets married in 1944, so she would have been 20 to Ronald George Brown. They have a son, John Sebastian, in 1949. I don't know if this is interesting to you at all, but I am fascinated by all of it. At any rate, she just sounds like she had one of the most interesting lives, and maybe it wasn't that interesting, or maybe she didn't think it was that interesting, but the way it is presented on her website, it really does seem quite fascinating, and I am definitely going to scroll through this some more, because it is, like I said, there's a timeline. There are not only pictures of her childhood and her life, but there are pictures, time-appropriate pictures. So, for instance, one of the pictures from the 1950s has the cover of a magazine called Housewife. It's got a woman in a fabulous hat. There is pictures of money, like a half penny, which you don't see very often. There's pictures of some handwritten letters. So all kinds of stuff. If you are a history buff, then this is the website for you. Obviously, I'm not here to promote the website. I mean, I'm not getting anything out of this to promote the website. I'm just fascinated with it because this is one of my favorite authors, and she was one of my favorite. The Wolves series was one of my favorites as a child. So definitely nostalgia, and I am loving learning more about her. Wondering why I never looked her up on the internet before. That just seems silly. But I didn't, so there you go. Now I get to do it, right? So you don't do it earlier in life, and then you get to do it later in life. Yeah, that was deep, wasn't it? Anyway, so Joan Aiken, loved her books. I am now going, I can't recommend them highly enough. If you haven't read them, you should. If you have children, you should check out what ages they're recommended for and see if they might be something your children would enjoy, and then maybe read them together as a family, because they are so very fun. And then if you like the books, you should check out her website, because she led a fascinating life. And now, you know, there's always that question, if you could go back in time and have dinner with one person, well, I'd never be able to answer that question, but she would definitely be on my list. I would love to go sit down and have a meal, or just sit down and chat with Joan Aiken at some point in her life, and find out if it was as interesting as it looks, or if she thought it was as interesting as I find it to be from this perspective, etc., to find out more about her writing, to find out more about the inspiration behind her stories, you know, all the nosy questions that I ask authors whenever they come on my podcast. I would love to be able to do that with some of my childhood authors. I think that would be so much fun. That will be my next life when I have a TARDIS like Doctor Who, and I can travel in time and space, and I can go back in time and interview authors. Yep. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you will check out Joan Aiken if you haven't. If you loved her as a child, then maybe you should revisit her. If you already knew all of this and you're like rolling your eyes at me right now for my lack of knowledge, I hear you. Totally get that. I'm thankful for you all the time, my listeners, and I hope you'll join me again next time for another episode of the GSMC Book Review Podcast. But before that happens, I would like you to go out there and get lost in a good book. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast. part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.